No, it's awful quiet in here. Must mean everybody's tired. Don't you love that spell check or whatever it is on your phone, or if tries to read your mind and puts in words, or else I'm not typing. I have to start proofing it. Last night after I went to bed, I don't know why I thought, oh, I haven't talked to the snowplow guy. I want to make sure he's doing that. So I waited till this morning, and I said, I just want to make sure that we were on your list. Well, instead of your, the Y, it put a T in it. It says, want to make sure that we were on your tour. And he writes back, he says, where are we going? Oh, man. So we're not going on tour. But okay, so we are looking at 2 Peter 2 here today, the way of Balaam. All right. Any prayer requests this morning? Yes?
I have my follow-up with the cardiologist tomorrow at 10:30. I don't expect to hear anything out of order, but that's okay too, which I'll just
do. Doing what the doctor ordered. Go see my friend. Okay. Yes, Mike? Mark?
Yes, please pray for my mom's spiritual growth and for my friend Bob Prusik for spiritual wisdom and for Jake, my renter, that he would continue the search for the Lord's truth for his spiritual growth.
Okay. Anybody, anything else going once, twice? Okay. Oh, Karen. Judy get her knee opera?
October 24.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is that one knee or?
I think she has to get both of them done eventually, but it's better the right one done.
Okay. Ouch. Okay. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for safety here. Pray you help us as we look at this passage today, that we can learn truths that be of help to us. We do pray that you would give the doctor wisdom as he checks out Michelle and looks over the tests and so on that have been done already. That she get a clean bill of health there. For Mike's brother-in-law, Felix, pray that you'll continue to give strength and healing there. Help him to be able to recover well enough that he'd be able to go back home. And pray that you'd give him patience as he allows you to work in his life there at the assisted living. For James, again, we pray for the doctors. You give them wisdom as they look at the lab reports and see if they can locate where this cancer is coming from and best how to deal with it. Pray you'd encourage him and his family as they wait to hear back from the lab reports and all. Think of Mark's mom. Pray that you give her interest in the scriptures, also for Jake, that they'd have a desire to want to learn what your word has to say, and they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. for wisdom in making right choices for Bob Prushak. And we thank you now for this time we have to look at your word. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're looking at lesson number 5 here, the way of Balaam. Okay. Another name that you don't hear people naming their children after, but probably a good reason for that. So this kind of continues on here from last week as he was talking about false teachers. And, you know, they're not going to wear a sign around their neck, false teacher or whatever. But we ought to be alert so that, how are we going to know false teacher anyway? Yes, pardon? Fruits, okay.
The teach away from the word of God.
Right. Yeah.
Away from the truth or twist it.
Yeah, match it up to scripture. Is what they're saying true? You know? And it talked about the Bereans. Even with Paul, they went home and checked it out and make sure it's right. And so just because somebody's on radio or TV or behind a pulpit doesn't automatically make what they have to say right, okay? That can be. And this was true in Peter's day, and we haven't outgrown that. There's still false teachers out there today. You think, well, it's not always that they're coming up with something new. It's just they kind of revive something that was taught and forgotten about and so on. Or somebody thinks they got a new idea, new insight, you know. into it, and yet they're leading people astray from it. And we see here today that he talks about the degenerate character and conduct of some of these false teachers. You know, you can't put them all in one little pigeonhole. They don't all fit the same thing, because sometimes as I was reading this, that reminds me of somebody. And I don't know, say they were a false teacher, but they at least had some of the same characteristics. But it also talks about the person's, hopefully we'll get that far, person's motives for doing what they do, for serving the Lord. What possible motives can people have other than maybe the right one to serve the Lord? Bob?
Money.
Okay, yeah, dollars and cents, okay? We touched on that here last week, or was it the week before? Anyway, what motivates people, and it's not everybody that's in ministry is going to get rich, okay? But there are some that are getting rich, and you wonder how they go about doing that. Is it all in the up and up, or is there something else going on there? And sometimes we'll get, because somebody's wealthy, doesn't mean that they're sinful, you know? Or we look at scripture and we find a lot of wealthy people. It's not how much you have, it's what you do with what you have, you know? Are you using it to honor the Lord, whether it's little or lot? You know, we get a lot of people, some people that, well, if I was rich, I'd do this, that, and the other thing. Well, okay, so you're not. Does that mean you do nothing? about the widow and her mite, you know, she didn't have much, but she used it for the Lord. And so, but then again, what's our motive for serving the Lord? Okay, so money, what else? Pardon?
I think I read that in the Bible that you were trying to seek the glory and the honor and the power of
God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Build up your ego, you know. I am somebody. Yeah. Power, prestige, so that sort of thing. You know, instead of giving it to the Lord, they're looking for it for themselves. Okay, so let's kind of jump in here. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, talks about these bold accusers and fleshly indulgence. 2 Peter 2:10 says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." Okay, so they indulge here in the flesh. They walk after the flesh. They live after the flesh. This is not just the physical flesh of the body, but it's talking about our sin nature. How many natures are there? Don't talk about, you know, the flowers and trees, but for us, how many natures? Pardon?
As many as there are people.
How about two kind? Well, I already answered that, didn't I? There are two. There's the sin nature that we're all born with. Okay, you don't have to apply for that. You get it automatically. But when we come to know Christ as Savior, the Lord gives us a new nature, all right? And do we get to trade it in on the old, trade the old nature in to get a new one? No, it's not like a car or something where you get to get rid of the old one and start with a new one. No, we have both of them. So which nature ends up being the one that runs our lives? The one you feed, yeah, right. Like, well, you've probably heard it from somewhere else, or I've shared it with you. The old Indian, you were talking about the two natures, and he says, it's like I got two dogs. You know, it's whichever one I feed the most is the one that's the strongest. And so, yeah, it's a battle. Okay, but what he begins to point out here is that these false teachers, as we see here, is there a battle going on in their lives? No, because they don't have the new nature. All they have is the old sin nature, okay? That's the one that they're that's running things for them. They only, and so that one nature controls them, and until they come to know Christ, that's what's guiding their lives. Now, they may not know that. They may not realize it or want to admit it, you know? It's just like for a person that's it's not a believer, has not trusted Christ for salvation. Again, whether they realize it or not, Satan's in control of their life. Now, you tell people that, you know, and they're offended, you know. I'm a good guy, you know, I'm one of those that wear the white hat. But no, you don't have another nature. That's and you're being obedient to that. But well, let's look here. It says that they lust after uncleanness. They despise government. It's not just government, you know, whether it's Madison or Washington, but the idea behind it is that they despise authority. And you know, again, with the old sin nature, they're pretty much the philosophy of me, myself, and I, serving self, serving their own interests. They're going after whatever they want, not necessarily what's best for them or for others. And they may perform some good deeds along the way, but again, that only because it fits in with the direction they want to go. Maybe they're, again, trying to gain the praise of people. As Scripture tells us, no man can serve two masters. Like what he pointed out. He says, when self is the master, authority is disdained or looked down upon. You know, we want to be the one calling the shots. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. So how does that match up with Scripture? They're going to have a high degree on Scripture? No, because it's probably going to tell them stuff they don't want to hear. The Lord says, do this, do that. And they're saying, don't want to, you know. And so the question is asked, which authorities does your flesh dislike submitting to the most? Ooh. Anybody want to volunteer? Yeah, Sandy?
Police.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that's tough when your son's one, right?
My brother, my cousin. But I get very resentful every time I'm pulled over. Yeah.
Every time. How often is that? Oh, okay. All right, going to say we're going to have confession now. Well, I saw that today. We were coming over here on the freeway, and police car, he's been, you know, sitting in the middle, and then he pulls out, and he kind of speeds up. Well, he's not after me, so he speeds up, and then he's pulling up alongside this semi, and he's just kind of sitting there right next to him and pulls up kind of next to the cab, and then pretty soon he backs off a little bit, and he's pulling in behind him, and then he's just following him. I thought, that guy's probably sweating a little bit, wondering, what did I do wrong now? Yeah, so police are a bit of authority. I guess, well, maybe I did and I've forgotten it, but I didn't seem like I struggled that much with the government authority until COVID came along and they started telling me what I had to do and couldn't do, and didn't think much of that, you know. I mean, it's one thing if they're really looking after your best interest or not. But I guess, you know, again, that was one of the tendencies of these false teachers. And again, as they didn't want to take orders from headquarters, you know, and so they showed contempt for all authority figures, whether it was God or whether it was human, you know, leaders in the church or whatever. You know, that they resisted that, okay? Because, again, they wanted to be the ones that decided what they were going to do. And it was self-willed involved there. But, again, the unsaved person doesn't have a lot of options. Whether he realizes it or not, he's going to be a selfish person. He's looking after himself. He's not thinking about... on the radar, you know, it isn't, well, this is what God wants me to do. They didn't want to go along with leadership. In fact, they're in opposition to that. And that can get us into trouble, okay? Either way, you can take the pendulum too far in either direction. And he gives an example there of even the angels, okay? The angels are a whole lot stronger than we are, more powerful, everything else. But they weren't resisting as these false teachers were. He says in verse 11, he says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. Okay, so... they didn't exercise whatever authority they might have, and he doesn't spell it out. Some believe that he's referring to Michael the archangel when they were kind of doing battle with Satan over the body of Moses. You know, I mean, Satan had no just claim to Moses' body or anything, but Michael didn't choose to use his authority to rebuke Satan. He let the Lord take care of that, you know. And I've heard of people, you know, just, you rebuke Satan, you tell Satan to take a hike or whatever, you know. Well, that's probably above our pay grade, you know. We don't have to listen to him, but the Lord will deal with him, okay? Then Peter would not have passed the... PC judgment of today. He wasn't politically correct. look at verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts. Ooh. Well, we'll see what qualified them as being referred to as brute beasts. He says, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken, destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And so he says they're brute beasts. They're irrational animals, and they're like animals. I mean, sometimes you look at how sometimes people treat people. They, you know, beat them. You know, you see these people getting attacked on the subways, or just little old ladies walking down the street, or guys too, and just beat the pulp out of them, you know, whether they're robbing them or whatever. But here, you know, he's saying these are other desires that they have. They live like animals. And he says, you know, God's judgment ultimately is going to be upon them. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption. You know, it may not happen today or tomorrow or next week, but God's not one of these liberal DAs that's just going to wink, wink, nod, nod, let him go, you know. Boys will be boys sort of thing. No, they're going to be dealt with, and there is eternal judgment that's going to fall on these people, you know. It's not just that they're going astray, but they're leading other people astray. And their sensuality here, he says, it brings about self-destruction. They live like beasts. They live like animals. They're going to be taken in. They're going to be destroyed. And not only do they speak evil things, but that they don't know what they're talking about, but in their behavior. And they're controlled by their own fleshly appetites. And it's never ending. Peter kind of pulls back the mask, if you will. It's not that Peter, you know, has ESP or whatever, you know, and he can read their minds to know what they're thinking. But the Lord has led him to help people see what these people are really like underneath the facade that they're putting on. And they are posing as religious teachers, and yet they're irrational people, they're spiritually bankrupt. God says they're going to perish in their own corruption, right? And God knows their heart. He's not just, you know, throwing around words that are not just having a verbal battle of some kind here. But he says too, blaspheme God's truth. You know, they're in total opposition of the Lord. And he talks about the fact that their ultimate doom, okay? And they're not just going to get a hand slap here. We're talking about their heresies and immoral behavior will bring about eternal ruin in their lives. And they'll be destroyed by the corruption that they've been spreading abroad. He says there in verse 13, he says, and shall receive reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. Again, ultimate judgment's going to fall on these false teachers, these unrighteous individuals, and God's going to be the one that's giving out the judgment. It's not just up to us to handle them. You know, sometimes we tend to forget. You know, sometimes they talk about that in politics. You know, when the new guy gets in and they do all kinds of stuff they know people are against early on, because they figure, well, they're going to forget in 4 years or 6 years what we did. And so, but God doesn't forget. And he points out the shamelessness on their part. He says, you know, it used to be people did bad things, but they would do it at night in the cover of darkness. These guys are rioting in the daytime. They're doing whatever they're doing in the middle of the day. And again, posing as righteous teachers, saying that they're representing God and so on, but their behavior is morally indefensible. And they're a hollow shell. You know, it kind of reminds me of what Jesus talked about some of the religious leaders in his day. You know, you're whitened sepulchers. You know, you look good on the outside, but you're full of death inside. They put on a false front. It may have fooled some people, but it didn't fool the Lord because he was able to look at their heart. And he says these guys are going to, they're going to feast with you. Now, we saw some of the, if we took time to look at 1 Corinthians, we could see how they abused the Lord's Supper, and they would have a meal afterwards, and the rich guys would eat well, and the other guys would just kind of look at what's on their plate. You know, I'm eating water and beans or something. But he says even their fellowship is affected, and they use that as an opportunity to spread their false teaching. He says they're a stain and a blemish on the church and on the fellowship. They taint the fellowship. And so those meals became an occasion for them to just not only satisfy their physical cravings to gluttony or whatever, but they perverted the Lord's Supper. And a question is asked is, why would letting a false teacher stay in a church actually be unkind action to take towards that false teacher? Why would it be unkind to just let him stay here? Why would you let him stay here in the first place? Huh? Okay, they're full of it, but why would you let him stay? What? Okay, if they changed, yeah, okay, there's that possibility. Not everybody that starts out wrong stays wrong. Some people get saved and their lives changed. Yes?
So you might let them stay because maybe there's fear of confronting them.
Okay, yeah, right, yeah. We don't want to, they could liable to split the church, you know, or whatever, okay? Okay, yeah, maybe they're friends with these people, you know? And even though we know they're wrong with... what do you think? Okay, we know they're wrong, and we're not going to believe what they say, but it's better that they're here and we keep an eye on them than we let them go to some other church and mess up the other church. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying we should do that. I'm just saying, you know, why would... well, then back to our question. Why aren't you doing them a favor by letting them stay?
If you don't confront them.
Pardon?
If you don't confront them, they'll think that what they're doing is right unless you bring it forth to them.
Right, yeah. They assume, well, everybody's accepting this, you know. It's like you put your stamp of approval on them by letting them stay put, okay? Go ahead.
Also, if they, I'm just wondering if they go out, they're gonna hit rock bottom because you know this probably get worse. So they come to realization that when they're led astray in that unbeliever or whatever.
Yeah. You take away their hearers. Okay, all right, Mark.
Also, as God said, His words will not go void if He's amongst a group of solid believers.
Yeah, but is that okay? If they hang around long enough, maybe we'll change them. What's the danger of that, though?
They can change someone's
yeah, they're liable to change more people. You know, that's why the Lord says separate from them. Okay, they're not doing you any good. You know, it's kind of, well, how about people with friends that are got bad behavior? Well, I'm going to keep hanging around with them because I might be able to influence them for good, and maybe they'll change their ways. That doesn't work too good usually. Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. I want them to become like me because I'm such a good guy, right? It doesn't usually work that way, you know. Seems like more often than not, they drag us down rather than us pulling them up. Okay. Now that's not to discount what the Lord can do. The Lord can change anybody's heart. I mean, He changed Paul. He changed other people. God can do it, but we have to be careful that we're not trying to put ourselves in God's place and trying to do what only God can do. You know, we can pray for them, but if we're walking around hand in hand with them, they're not going to see any need to change. You know? Yes.
Well, if they're claiming to be a believer and they're living in a way that is not presenting Christ, wouldn't it be part of the church to discipline them?
Yeah. Do you hear much about church discipline anymore?
Oh, everybody's scared.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on that one here today. But
don't hear about discipline at all.
Huh?
You don't hear about discipline.
Yeah, yeah. No, not only does church don't discipline, parents don't discipline. Oh, yeah, I know. That's, yeah, I have to be careful because sometimes I lump everybody together. But it's kind of like, well, it's like, all district attorneys are not bad, but we hear about the ones that keep turning them loose, you know. You shoot at a cop, you'll be back on the street by tomorrow, you know, so whatever. Okay, all right, well, it affects other people. There's a ripple effect, okay? Look at 14. He says, he said, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Wow. You'd think going to church would be a safe place, right? But he's saying here, some of the people that are there that you're having your communion with or whatever have eyes full of adultery, okay? That's what's running through their head. And again, it isn't Peter that has this tremendous insight or that somebody's, you know, kind of confided in him and told him what they were thinking. No, God's, again, pulling the mask back and he's showing the hearts of these people, okay? And this is not to say that every false teacher is, you know, an adulteress, okay? But in this particular case, that might even not even something we even think about. But he's saying this, again, another reason not to let them stay. He says, having eyes full of adultery. Okay, how does that work? How's the progression? Where does it start? In the mind. And when they haven't got enough thrill in the mind, okay, then we start acting it out. Okay, and that's, I think it's still there. There used to be one of these adult bookstores, or whatever they call it, on the right there by the freeway. From the Christian bookstore, yeah. Well, it used to be when I was taking the kids to school. That's been a long time ago, but it's been around. They've corrupted a lot of people in those years. I pull off the freeway, and it was sitting right there. And I thought, you know, there's high lines over. I thought, wow, this is back when they had VHS. And I thought, wouldn't that be some way if you could rig up some magnetic thing and just erase all their tapes, you know? Well, now they probably got other things, you know. But, yeah, they act it out, okay? And who are they going to act it out on? The people that are there. It's kind of like these guys that they let out of jail. The 900-some people that... Okay, I'm stepping into politics, but it affects all of us. The 900 that they've paroled or pardoned, let out of prison, They said 270 are attempted murders or murderers. Well, they're not just going to go out and, you know, draw the line, you know, red or blue, and then, well, I'm going to work on one of those. It's whoever happens to be in their way. Same thing, high 40s of pedophiles, child abusers, they're back out on the street again. Well, it's your kids, my kids, grandkids, whatever. You don't know where they're all at. They could be living down the street from. Well, they said one of these guys, he's being housed in a daycare center.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, so yeah, they take advantage of people. Okay, they beguile unstable souls. They trick. They deceive people. You know, I mean, that's what all this. Whether it's on your phone or your email, yeah. Do you guys get this? You know, oh, you were picked a winner. You're going to get $500 or, you know, Home Depot or whatever, you know. And, you know, wipe it out. You know, you're filling up my mailbox here, you know. It's all a scam. But it must work because they keep on doing it. There's somebody that's thinking, oh, boy, I'm a winner. You know, I haven't seen those for a while, but I got one here the other day. You know, somebody from Africa somewhere, and he's the lawyer, and they want to got money in the bank, and they want to give it to you, $1 million, and
yeah.
Yeah, right. But it's out there, folks. It's not just in the world, but he's saying it can be in the church too. They exercise with covetous practice. They're looking out for whatever they can get. Okay. And sometimes it's even to the point of adultery. They're drawing people in and taking advantage of people sexually. He says they're luring people in. How do you lure people in? What do? When you go fishing, you got to have some good bait out there. Okay. And so they're baiting the hook with something. They got to have something that people want. You want peace? You want safety? I don't know what you're going to send in for the book I just wrote, you know? $50 will get you out of jail free card or something. I don't know. But yeah, they're deceiving people. And verse 15 says we got a little bit of time here left. We start talking about Balaam. Look, he says, verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the wail of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. What do you remember about Balaam? Good guy, bad guy? What do you think, Kathy? Yeah.
I didn't understand that at first. I thought,
well,
he sounds like a good guy.
Well, I mean, he got part of it right. I can't curse Israel. They're God-chosen people. I can't curse them. But then, you know, hey, Balaam, I got a dollar in here. I don't know. Will that buy me? Can I buy a curse for a dollar? No, but yeah, it's. He's being lured in, okay? And it's surprising what people will do for money, you know? If things get as bad as they talk about, you know, there might be people coming after you, your food. Well, we won't run down that one right now. But, yeah, he couldn't curse him. He is a prophet of God. The king's trying to lure him in. I'll pay you to curse Israel. Can't do that. But wow, I don't know. How much money? What's it worth? Let me see. Let me sleep on this. Let me see if I can come up with something else. Okay, I can't curse him, but I know they got a weak spot. And you got some pretty good-looking gals over on your side of the fence. If we can get our guys to come over to visit your girls, and your girls to come over to visit our guys, and we start mixing them up, you know, and we got believers marrying, or, well, I suppose they married them back then. They don't necessarily do that nowadays. But, yeah, intermarriage with unbelievers, God for that or against that? Why is he against it? Right. Yeah, it's, I mean, it happened to Solomon, and he's supposed to be the smartest guy around. So, yeah, they'll end up following after these false gods. That's why God said, wipe out the people of Canaan. And they didn't do it. And so they started intermarrying, and next thing you know, it's like with Elijah, they're worshiping Baal. You know, it takes a little while for it to catch up, but, you know, that's what they want to do, okay? And so they drug them down morally. They drug them down spiritually. You know, it accomplished the same thing as a curse might. It may have taken a little while for that all to happen, but you get kind of the same results, okay? And, okay, so he's on the way to do this. And God knows he's on the way to do this. And God... How does God slow him down a little bit?
Uses a donkey.
Okay, the donkey. But what causes the donkey to stop?
The angel.
How many angels has God sent out our way to slow us down or stop us? You know, maybe one of these days we'll find out. We're doing that fast forward DVD. Ooh, now I understand. Yeah. So... The dumb donkey is smarter than the prophet. He stops. He sees the angel. The prophet doesn't. He's mad at the donkey. Starts beating the donkey.
And the donkey
and
talks.
The donkey talks. It sounds like some kind of kid's book, but this is reality. God can, you know, he gave us a voice. If he wants to make that donkey talk, he can make that donkey talk too. And, yeah, and so we see there, verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Okay, so you know, the donkey tries to set him straight. He's smarter than the guy that's riding him, okay? But that was a thing of Balaam. And the iniquity of his heart. And he's supposed to know better. He's a prophet of God. But again, it was the lure of money, his motive. What was he doing? Why would he knowingly do something that he know was wrong? You know, enough money can change people's hearts and lives. And, I mean, if you've read any of this stuff about people who win the lottery, they're not all living happily ever after. Yeah. Most of them are miserable. They've lost all their family and friends because they didn't give them enough, and they're better off where they got started. But, you know, the iniquity is rebuked. You know, God's not using animals to tell us we're going the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing today, but he does use his word. And again, sometimes it's telling us stuff that we don't want to hear, but we better set up and pay attention. Because ultimately, God's trying to spare us from hurt and harm. You know, I guess that's something that we need to think about, you know. Don't sense any false teachers here today? Any false raise your hand. Anybody false teacher? No. I didn't think anybody would admit to that. I don't think we have that. But could we be wrong in our motives for serving the Lord? You know, why do we do what we do? Is it for, as you mentioned, is it for God's glory or our glory? And, you know, is it really, are we doing it because we love the Lord and we want to do what pleases Him? And so it's kind of a challenge here for all of us. But also to kind of have our antennas up that we don't just buy into everything that we might hear from somebody, even if it's a big name of some kind, you know, radio, TV, whatever, you know, because there can they can be steering you astray. And so that's why we have to keep coming back to Scripture. You know, what does God's Word say? Does it match up? You know, what they're saying. I mean, sometimes you can kind of tell stuff that they're kind of far out there somewhere. Like people that came to me and tell me I should watch this YouTube video because it tells about, you know, how the earth is, you know, it's on its axis, but it's going to do a flip, you know, and the northern hemisphere is going to be the southern hemisphere and the other way around and all this stuff. What? You know, my Bible doesn't tell me any of that. But that was just one little clue that there's some other stuff. If you're wrong on this one, what else are you wrong about? And somebody else was telling me that here a while back. You know, if they don't have this right. Oh, I think I remember. If you your outlook on Israel isn't right, what else don't you have right? You know? And so we need to be alert to these sort of things so that we aren't deceived and tricked and sucked into something that's ultimately going to damage us, you know, because they're not looking out for our best interests. They're looking out for what they can get out of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You know, it looks like kind of scary stuff. And it's not to say, well, that was in Peter's day. We don't have that sort of problem today. No, we still have false teachers today. And we don't know all of their motives. We don't know what their end goal is, what they're really looking after. You know, as it talked about here, the adultery and that sort of thing. You know, we'd like to think that wouldn't be the case, but it was reality in Peter's day, and it isn't like we've living a whole lot better today. We might be really shocked and surprised if we knew what was going on in some places, and we have to be alert so it doesn't happen in our own backyard. We pray you help us to have right motives. Even if we've got our doctrine right, we can be serving the Lord for the wrong reasons. And we pray that you'd help keep us on straight and narrow there. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.